saved for that. So if it feels like some of these questions kind of come out of nowhere.
Sure, no problem.
It's anticipating the need for that.
Yeah.
All right, well, if we have 30 minutes, I'm not even going to bother keeping time. We should be good on this then.
We are rolling whenever you're ready.
All right, do you guys need a clap or is that already taken care of?
I just need one. You can just go ahead.
Yeah, we can wait.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Looking back at 2024, what stands out at you as some of the more significant moments of the year?
So for over a decade, we have been working to get FAIR Maps in Wisconsin, and that happened at the beginning of 2024. We were really pleased to be able to run last cycle on competitive maps that had a whole lot of districts that were, of course, very close. It's really good for our democracy, and it's good for the voters to have more choice. And we saw that those maps had a significant impact on the election cycle. We were able to pick up 10 seats as the Assembly Democrats, and the Senate picked up several as well on the Democratic side. So we're really pleased to see the numbers get a lot closer in both chambers. We, of course, are always working towards the majority, but we got pretty far in one cycle, and we are going to use that new power to have real wins for our constituents in the coming legislative cycle.
When speaking just for legislative Democrats, is it fair to say the redistricting was probably the most significant moment of the decade?
I think it's certainly up there. Yeah.
Can it be overstated what this changes in the building?
No, I don't think it can. I mean, in terms of the elections, as you and I'm sure many of your viewers know, it was near impossible for Democrats in the Assembly and Senate to get a majority under the old maps, despite often getting about 50% of the vote, right? Sometimes over, sometimes a little under. And so now when we get 50% of the vote, right, that should yield close to 50% of the seats. And that's a very good thing. We really did not have a functioning democracy here when it came to the state legislature. And so now we've got a number of members who are going to be serving in this body in the upcoming year who are on the red side and the blue side, who are in very close seats. And they're gonna be looking over both shoulders, right? And they're gonna know that they've got an election in 2 years and voters are gonna expect them to deliver. They're gonna expect them to work hard on their behalf and not play partisan games, right? Which often dominated in this building in the last decade. And I think that's gonna be a really good thing. I'm hopeful that we're gonna see a really productive bipartisan session.
How long does it take for that culture to shift? Because in way back before the first set of gerrymandered maps in 2010, you know, older members taught new members how to work in the Capitol.
Yeah.
But most of the existing members have only lived under that strict gerrymandered partisan divide.
Yeah.
So what will it take for new members to understand and work with new people about how does compromise legislation look like?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I guess the first thing I'll say is we have 23 new Assembly Democrats this year. That's actually a majority of our caucus that's going to be new legislators. Many of them, of course, coming from local government or other backgrounds where they were interacting with the legislature, so they know a little bit about it. But I think it's a really good thing that we have so many new people coming in, because I think that is going to help with this culture shift in really a new era for the legislature. We only have one member who served in the majority. That's Chris Sinicki. And so she, I'm sure, is going to be helping our caucus understand what it was like to really be in a different position. But I will say that last session, things already started to change, right? With new maps coming in, we saw much more negotiation. We saw bipartisan legislation on housing and the Brewers and shared revenue. And I think we're going to see that only increase. But we did get some practice last session in those negotiations, working with our colleagues and trying to get some big things done.
Looking back at the election in November quickly, with Trump's win and the national environment, there are a lot of people talking about landslide and how great a year it was for Republicans. What's your counter argument to that, considering how well Democrats did in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so Wisconsin is a bit of an outlier, right? I think nationally, the country moved about 6 points towards Republicans in swing states, an average of 3, and in Wisconsin, an average of 1.5. So we feel really good about the work that we were able to do. Clearly, the strong candidates, right, having a resonant message and really running strong campaigns mattered here in Wisconsin. We knocked a ton of doors, right? Our candidates were out directly connecting with voters across the state in the 97 districts where we had candidates running, and we really do think that was is a big piece of this. We also, of course, have worked really hard to make sure that voters understand what Democrats stand for in Wisconsin, what we have been fighting for, and our vision for the future. And so relative to the rest of the country, we feel pretty good about where we made out.
So we have a budget coming next year. Historically, we have seen Governor Evers' budget proposals set aside and Republicans write their own budget. How does that change with a narrower majority? Because we've seen in the past, Speaker Voss specifically has let some of his more vulnerable members vote no against some of those Republican proposals. He doesn't have the same latitude now.
Right. Yeah, so we're all going to be figuring this out together, right? It is a new era. It's been over a decade since we've had fair maps, and a lot of members who are in these competitive districts need to be taking their constituents' perspectives into consideration here. You know, we're already in conversation with our colleagues in the Senate and the governor about our top priorities for the budget and how we are going to collectively leverage our power to get real wins for the people of Wisconsin. We know that anything that is signed into law, right, has to go through the governor. And so he has leverage there, and we expect that in the Senate and the Assembly, it's possible, if not likely, that they will need Democratic votes on some important policies that they're trying to get done in the next year and a half.
What would you like to see from Governor Evers in his budget proposal? Because we've seen him kind of introduce a budget that really does not reflect the reality of their GOP-controlled majorities. Do you think he should be a little more reflective of what the majorities look like this time, or should it still be a vision document?
Yeah, so I think the governor has done a great job of listening to the people of Wisconsin and reflecting the people's priorities in his budgets. That's what I hope and expect he will do again. He's put forward visionary policy like paid family and medical leave in Wisconsin, investing in childcare in our schools, protecting our environment, investing in safety and criminal justice reform, right? I think those are good things. Those should be in the budget. And I'm hopeful that with the new dynamics, we are going to see more of the governor's budget in the final document.
Once again, we're coming into a budget season with a large surplus in the state. Republicans have already talked about there has to be a tax cut. What kind of a tax cut could you expect Democrats to actually vote for?
Yeah, so in the last legislative session, we put forward, alongside the governor, right, a middle-class working families tax cut. We are very happy to have conversations about doing something like that again. We do have a significant surplus, and we also know that many people are struggling to make ends meet in Wisconsin due to recent inflation. And so we're going to engage in those conversations in good faith. I would say that the challenge is that Republicans keep coming forward with policy proposals on tax cuts that are really about benefiting the richest people in Wisconsin and corporations. And that's just not something that we're interested in doing. We want a tax cut that is going to put money in the pockets of people who really need it. And we are looking forward to those conversations.
The last 4 years, we've had a Biden administration that sent a lot of funds into the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
What are you expecting from a Trump administration, especially since they've talked about cutting federal agencies or some of the money that flows into the states?
Yeah, I think we need to be prepared to take care of ourselves in many ways. I expect that some federal funds will have strings attached that we don't want. And we are going to need to do everything we can to support our local governments and our schools and our higher education institutions to continue to function and to provide great services to, you know, their students and the people who live in Wisconsin. And that's going to be a big discussion in this state budget, right? I think we're going to really need to think about how we're going to invest in our schools and how we're going to make sure that we are starting, giving each kid in Wisconsin the opportunity to start life on a strong footing. The legislature has not done its part in the past, and I don't think that our schools are going to get bailed out by the federal government. So I'm hoping we can have a really robust conversation and see significantly increased investment in our schools in the coming budget.
I mean, contrary to, you know, the federal investment in education, we've heard Trump administration talk about eliminating the Department of Education.
Yeah.
What would it mean to return that to the states? You know, whatever that concept may be, what could that look like, or what would that mean for the discussion in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all still trying to figure that out. But what we do know is that it's good to have people at the federal level who are thinking about how to have strong schools in every state. Wisconsin's historically been a state that had really strong public education. That's faltered a little bit under GOP control because of the disinvestment. But I want people in Washington thinking about how schools in Wisconsin can be great. I also want people in Wisconsin doing the same. And so I know that the Department of Public Instruction is going to do everything they can to be prepared for multiple possible scenarios, and we're going to do the same in the legislature.
So I want to take you back to a year ago for this interview. I asked you to define success a year from now, and I'm going to read you back a little bit of what you had told
sure.
me then. You'd said, we want to get things done that improve people's lives and build capacity for long-term success and compete for the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, reassess that vision that you aspired to a year ago. How would you say you met that goal or achieved that, or where are you at?
I think every day our members, Assembly Democrats, show up and they try to get things done. That's been difficult under the deep minority with the gerrymandered legislative maps, but every opportunity we've had, we've taken it. And so I feel really proud of that. I feel really proud of the visionary policy that we put forward in the last legislative session to really improve people's lives in Wisconsin. And we, of course, are going to be meeting and discussing with partners and our constituents and our caucus and everyone in this building who's willing to meet with us to talk about what we can do this cycle. And so we're really excited about that work. As I said, we have a lot of new members this year coming in, and they are ready to do that work. You know, they came here because they want to govern. On the campaign side, of course, we're always going for the majority. We didn't quite get there this year, but again, in a tough year for Democrats, we're really pleased with the gains that we did make this cycle. And we've got folks who are set up really well for 2 years from now. In many of these districts, we didn't have competitive assembly races for over a decade. Now we've got grassroots infrastructure, we've got experienced candidates, we've got, you know, local folks who are mobilized and excited to participate in those competitive elections. And I think we've learned a lot about how to run in this new environment.
So let's talk about the number of significant cases that are currently or could be for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There's the abortion ruling, there's JFC authority, Governor Evers' education funding vetoes, Megan Wolf's appointment to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They're likely to hear the appeal of the Act 10 law.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, how important is the Supreme Court election coming up this April?
Well, people in Wisconsin have heard this before, but it is an existential election for us. We have seen how a conservative majority on the court damaged the state of Wisconsin over the last decade, taking away people's rights, doing nothing when Roe v. Wade fell, right? Doing nothing when Act 10 was passed in the legislature. We have really struggled under a conservative court in Wisconsin, and we've now seen what can happen when we have people elected who are fair and impartial. Our democracy gained a lot when we got fair maps here in Wisconsin, and that is thanks to a fair and impartial court. So we are going to be very engaged in this election. We know that it's essential for our constituents' well-being, for their rights and freedoms, particularly under a Trump administration.
Given that a number of these cases directly deal with the legislature or the budget, do you need to wait for the Supreme Court to rule on some of these, specifically Governor Evers' education vetoes or JFC authority or Act 10? I mean, do you have to wait to see what happens before you can act on some of these issues?
Well, when it comes to things like Act 10, we are always going to be fighting to enshrine the rights of working people into state law, right? That's been a goal for us for many years. That will continue to be a goal. We know that that's best practice. It's good to have a court case, but it's also good to take legislative action. I hope that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, particularly on the Joint Finance Committee, will recognize that they've overstepped their authority. And they've also done something the people of Wisconsin did not want them to do, which is hold back dollars for PFAS cleanup and for rural hospitals. People are desperate for those resources to reach their communities, and I'm hopeful that Joint Finance Committee Republicans will recognize that they cannot act as a super legislature, and they will release those funds and literacy and move forward in doing the work of the people of Wisconsin.
Outside of budget-related issues, what are some of the top priorities legislatively for Democrats?
Yeah, so I would say two big priorities coming into the new year. We really want to see strong investment in our schools. That might be part of the budget process, but I think for my district in the Racine area, for many of us across the state, right, we've had to go to referendum, we've been raising our own property taxes. We shouldn't be doing that when there's a $4 billion surplus sitting here in Madison. I'm hopeful that we're able to do right by our kids in the coming legislative session. We also really want to focus on lowering costs for working families. We know that many many people are having a difficult time. And so we're looking particularly at the areas of housing and childcare and prescription drugs. There's more that we can do at the state level, and we're hoping that our Republican colleagues will join us in that.
And finally, I want to end the same way as last year. How will you define success a year from now? What are the things that, for you to say this was a successful year, we need to accomplish?
Yeah, we want to invest in schools. We want to lower costs. We want to take every opportunity to get bipartisan work done that impacts our constituents positively. People are disillusioned with government right now and with politics, and we need to prove that we can come to Madison, that we can work across the aisle, and that we can act in their best interest. And so we're really pleased to have so many new folks and great returning members who are going to work every single day to deliver for their constituents and to restore faith in the process here in the State Assembly.
All right. Representative Neubauer, thanks for your time.
Always great to speak with you. Thank you.
All right. That was great.
Quick.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you all.
Brandon, do you want this?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So who do you got next? I know we were hoping to get sneak representative.
Spectrum, I think. Yeah. We were